All right, we'll start reading verse number 1 here. I'm going to just kind of chase the word counsel and advice, and I chased it kind of through Proverbs more than anything, and I just kind of want to, we'll just do a quick Bible study about that this morning, and I hope this will be encouragement to you, and just kind of maybe a thought provoker more than anything else. So we're going to start here in 1 Kings chapter 12, verse 1, though. We're going to read a little bit here, and then we'll use our Bibles quite a bit this morning, so just follow along in your Bible. The Bible says in 1 Kings chapter 12, verse 1, "And Rehoboam went to Shechem, and for all Israel were come to Shechem to make him king. And it came to pass when Jeroboam the son of Nebat, who was yet in Egypt, heard of it, for he was fled from the presence of King Solomon, and Jeroboam dwelt in Egypt, that they sent and called him, and Jeroboam and all the congregation of Israel came and spake unto Rehoboam, saying, Thy father made our yoke grievous. Now therefore make thou the grievous service of thy father and his heavy yoke which he put upon us lighter, and we will serve thee. And he said unto them, Depart yet for 3 days, then come again to me. And the people departed. And King Rehoboam consulted with the old men that stood before Solomon his father while he yet lived, and said, How do ye advise that I may answer this people? And they spake unto him, saying, If thou wilt be a servant unto this people this day, and wilt serve them, and answer them, and speak good words to them, then they will be thy servants forever. But he forsook the counsel of the old men which they had given him, and consulted with the young men that were grown up with him, and which stood before him. And he said unto them, What counsel give ye that we may answer this people, who have spoken to me, saying, Make the yoke which thy father did put upon us lighter? And the young men that were grown up with him spake unto him, saying, Thus shalt thou speak unto this people that spake unto thee, saying, Thy father made our yoke heavy, but make thou it lighter unto us. Thus shalt thou say unto them, My little finger shall be thicker than my father's loins. And now whereas my father did lade you with a heavy yoke, I will add to your yoke. My father hath chastised you with whips, but I will chastise you with scorpions. So Jeroboam and all the people came to Rehoboam the third day, as the king had appointed, saying, Come to me again the third day. And the king answered the people roughly, and forsook the old men's counsel that they gave him, and spake to them after the counsel of the young men, saying, My father made your yoke heavy, and I will add to your yoke. My father also chastised you with whips, but I will chastise you with scorpions. Wherefore the king hearkened not unto the people, for the cause was from the Lord, that he might perform his saying, which the Lord spake by Ahijah the Shilonite unto Jeroboam the son of Nebat. I read this passage in the Bible, and it kind of caught my attention, and I know pastors preached about it several times, and I know everybody's heard many lessons about this Rehoboam that forsook the counsel of the old men. It was kind of interesting to me, and so I started chasing this through the Bible, and I got just maybe 4 things we're going to look at, and then we're going to kind of just contemplate something else this morning. But I want to go through these 4 things, and we're going to go to the book of Proverbs. So if you want to go over to the book of Proverbs, Proverbs chapter 12, verse 15 is the first place we'll go to. First thing I was looking about this counsel, Rehoboam, his first decision was actually a good decision, because the first thing he did was he went to the old men. And if you go through the book of Proverbs, Proverbs was, how many times did Solomon in the book of Proverbs say, my son this, my son that? And this was, Proverbs was written to help his son. Well, one generation removed, it was Solomon's son, and he did what his father said, but then he failed to follow through with it. And, I think a lot of times we get counsel, but as Pastor said, it's not really counsel if you've already made up your mind what you're going to do. What good does it get to get counsel? But we see here that Rehoboam went to the old men first, and they told him wise counsel. If you think about what Solomon had put these people through, we always go back to the Queen of Sheba when the queen came down and told Solomon, said, man, look at all your people, all your men servants, all your maid servants. They're very happy. And we look at that, but we also have to look at what these people did for Solomon. They loved Solomon, but Solomon had put them through a lot of work. He had made them build the temple. He had made them build his gardens. He had made them build his own house. These people had slaved for Solomon. Honestly, they just wanted to break, all right? And they asked Rehoboam, they said, hey, we just want a break. Can you give us a break? And Rehoboam, he did the wise thing. He went to the old men, the ones that understood the feelings of the people. They had been under Solomon also, so they understood how the people felt. Okay, but then he decided to forsake it, which was interesting to me. If you notice there, he went to them, but he had already made up his mind. I'm not going to listen to these men because I've already had my mind made up. Okay, and we're going to look at four things. Wow, don't look at 12. I don't even got 12 things. We're going to look at four things, and then we're going to look at the life of David also, and we're going to look at some different times that David took counsel, and just kind of we'll think through this together. But the first thing is, I believe that counsel, and we'll see this here in the Bible, counsel helps us see what we do not see ourselves. Counsel allows us, by getting good counsel, it allows us to see what we do not see ourselves. Proverbs chapter 12, I believe, is verse number 15. It says, "The way of a fool is right in his own eyes." You know, I have a lot of ideas that I think are really good ideas until I go talk to somebody else and I'm like, well, that's stupid. All right? And you know, the way of a fool is right in his own eyes. Man, I think it's a great idea. All right? "But he that hearkeneth unto counsel is wise." You have here the foolish, and pastor's been talking about the different people in the Bible on Wednesday nights. We have here the foolish man and the wise man. The foolish man thinks everything that I do, everything my idea is the best idea. You know, and that so many times I found that my idea really isn't the best idea. You know, it may work, it may get me by, but my idea and what I perceive as being the right way to do something is really not the best way. And so that's one thing that counsel helps us do. It helps us see things. You know, I may not see, you know, the problems of doing something a certain way, but if I had somebody say, "Hey, let's try this a different way," okay, that makes sense. All right, so that's one important thing about getting counsel. Proverbs chapter 19, verse 21. Proverbs chapter 19, verse 21. The Bible says, "There are many devices in a man's heart. Nevertheless, the counsel of the Lord, that shall stand." It's basically telling us the same thing. There's a lot of things a person has in his heart that they want to do. All right, but the counsel of the Lord, good godly counsel, will never fail you. If you get good godly counsel, all right? It's just an illustration, really. It just happened actually it happened Friday, I guess, and so it was kind of fresh in my mind. We was trying to do the texturing in the ceiling. Brother Kevin was helping me, and we was trying to do the texturing in the ceiling in there where we just tore it all apart. Well, I've never done this type of texturing before, and it was where you roll it on and then you stomp it. Is what theoretically I heard how to do it. I was like, well, that sounds pretty easy, so I'll try this. Well, I'd never done it before. I'd done the spray-on texture where you spray it on and then you go back through with a knife later and knock it down. And I knew how to do that. I'd done not a whole lot, but I've done my fair share of it. And I thought, well, I'll try this new way. Well, in the church foyer is probably not the best time to try something new. So me and Brother Kevin, I had my roller and I rolled this mud out, got real thin, and honestly, I should have got some counsel because I didn't have the faintest. I just heard, yeah, you just roll it on and stomp it. Sounds pretty easy to me, all right? So I rolled this stuff and I was rolling it on, and Kevin was going through and hitting the ceiling with the stomper. I was looking up, I was like, where's the texture? I don't see the texture. And honestly, I was like, there wasn't anything. I mean, there was mud on the ceiling, and it looked like a kid stuck his handprints in it or something, but that's all it looked like. And I was like, okay. And honestly, like where the peak is, that's all we did, just like the 3 feet on this side and about a foot and a half on this side. I was like, okay. You know, I've got mud that's drying right now on the ceiling, and it's not looking the way I want to. So we changed our whole – so I went home, got my spray stuff, and we decided to spray it. What would you say, Brother Chad, why'd you tell us that? Because I didn't get the counsel I should have. You know, I should have had somebody come in that knew for sure, you know, maybe it was probably the right way to do it. I mean, I'm sure you just roll it on and stomp it. That's what I heard anyway. But I may have not had my mud the right consistency. I may have not had the right roller. I may have not had the right tech. I don't know what it was. But I should have got more counsel because they would have seen something that I was doing that wasn't what I could have seen. All right? So there's just some things that you may not be able to see. You may not be able to foresee some situations, but if you had somebody that had been through that before, you know how they know all this. You can't do that. That's a problem. All right? And so there's some things that we just don't see. That's why it's wise to get counsel. All right? The second thing about counsel helps confirm what we believe to be right or wrong so that we can go forward without doubt. I've done this several times, and I think you would associate with me. There's sometimes you go in life and you think you know what's the right thing to do, and you're pretty sure about it, but you always have in the back of your mind that feeling. It's like, oh man, I hope this turns out right. You know, especially when it costs a lot of money. You know, it's some kind of business thing, and you get ready to start doing it, and halfway through you're like, I hope this works, because if not, I am out a lot of money. You know, but you know, if you had somebody to go through counsel, let's look in the Bible and we'll see this. Proverbs chapter 20, verse 18, you should be right there. Proverbs chapter 20, verse 18. Every purpose is established by counsel, and with good advice make war. So we have a purpose here, and everybody should have a purpose. You should have a goal. You should have something that you're trying to do. But the Bible says here that every purpose is established. That means it's made firm. It's like set on a foundation, all right? It's established. It's something that can be solid now without fear of it shifting or anything like that. So by counsel, by getting wise counsel, by talking to somebody that's been there before, talking to somebody that's done it before, you can get wise counsel. I just started working for a guy on some side work, and he does rental houses. Some of you might know him. He's got he's got about 30 rental houses over in Sullivan, and I started doing carpentry work on the side for him, and sounds like a pretty good deal to get in. I mean, I don't know, but you know, before I would go buy a house and decide I'm going to rent this house out, it would be wise of me to go talk to somebody that's done it before. You know, before a guy goes spend $20,000 and figure out that I bought a piece of junk that nobody's going to want to rent, you know, it would be wise of me to go talk to somebody that has done that type of thing before and say, hey, what's the pros and cons? What do I need to look for? What kind of price should I be looking at? What kind of work am I going to have? And, you know, if it's got termites all through the walls, I'm going to have to tear the walls out. You know, it's not going to be a whole lot of good for me to go buy a house to try to rent it out. You know, so there's a lot of things you got to look at, and that's why having wise counsel. I may have a purpose in my heart, and it's not a bad purpose, but by going and getting wise counsel and having somebody say, hey, yeah, this is what you should do, this is what you shouldn't do, and having somebody help me with that, it applies to all areas of our life, folks. So it's established by counsel. Proverbs chapter 15, verse 22. Proverbs chapter 15, verse 22 says, without counsel, purposes are disappointed, but in the multitude of counselors they are established. Without counsel, purposes are disappointed. Everybody has a purpose, like I said, but you need to have counselors that can help establish that purpose in your heart and in your life. Because it's never fun doing something if you have a doubt in the back of your mind that it's ever going to work. I hate doing stuff like that, all right? You know, if you're trying to work hard, it's hard to get motivated to do something if you doubt that it's going to work. You're like, man, this ain't going to work. Why am I even doing this? But if somebody says, hey, that works, okay, I can do this. Even if at first it don't seem like it's working, if somebody's there that says, I've been through this before, it does work, it's a lot easier to do things that way. So that's another reason why it's important to get counsel. I want you to notice, I should have had you look at it when we were there. In Proverbs chapter 20, verse 18, it said, every purpose is established by counsel, and with good advice make war. This is going to be the first of about three times that we see this statement, and with good advice make war. Okay, and we'll look at that at the end because it's kind of interesting that God puts it in there three times. And we'll kind of look at that at the end. Number three, first we had counsel helps us see what we do not see. The second thing is counsel helps confirm in our heart our purposes, establish our purposes, or helps us confirm what we believe to be right or wrong. You already have that purpose in your heart. What I believe this is right or I believe this is wrong. But counsel just helps solidify that in our hearts. Number three, counsel gives you safety. Counsel protects you. Counsel will give you safety. There's a lot of things you try to do, and it kind of goes back to that same thing. if you have some counselors that will help you, it will protect you many, many times from doing something you shouldn't do. Proverbs chapter 24, verse 6. Proverbs chapter 24, verse 6 says, "For by wise counsel thou shalt make thy war." There's the second time we'll see that. "For by wise counsel thou shalt make thy war, and in multitude of counselors there is safety." There is a lot of safety in going to people that have been someplace or have done something. You know, I was doing these curbs out here, and I have never done curbs at all before in my life. I've really not done much concrete work. So I went and talked to Brother Don. Brother Don's done quite a bit of concrete work, and I could have poured a curb, and, you know, it would have looked all nasty and had air bubbles in it and, you know, looked all chalky and stuff. And Brother Don was telling me, "Why don't you rub them down?" I was like, "Rub them? Why should I rub the concrete down? Right, that's kind of weird." But he's telling me, and he told me a story about how they would I don't remember a bridge, which bridge it was, somewhere up in Indianapolis. They would rub the whole bridge down with these rocks, basically, on a pad. And they'd rub the bridges down, and it turns them white, and it fills all your holes in and everything. I didn't know that. You know, and by talking to Brother Don, and he showed me how to do it. He came over one day, and he showed me how to do it. You know, and if you would have seen a curb that I would have poured without rubbing it, and then the curbs that we have now, there would have been a night and day difference, all right? And it looks nice because somebody was willing to give me some counsel, give me some wise counsel. "Hey, why don't you try this?" You know, and it helps the person. You know, so there's a lot of things. You may have a right thing. But, you know, what if I would have done that and it would have turned out terrible and it would have cost them church money for concrete and for rebar, for my time? But there was a safety in having somebody there that knew what they was doing. There's a safety involved in that, all right? So it gives you a certain amount of safety. There's a safety in having, you know, if you're making a financial decision, there's safety in going to people that are wise financially and saying, "What should I do here?" There is safety involved in that. We looked at Proverbs 24, verse 6. Look at Proverbs chapter 11, verse 14. Says, "Where no counsel is, the people fall." So obviously there wasn't a safety net there because they fell. "Where no counsel is, the people fall, but in the multitude of counselors there is safety." There is safety in a multitude of counselors. So we see that in the Bible. The fourth thing that we'll look at about counsel is counsel should come from different people with different areas of expertise. Counsel, and pastor talks about this as having a cabinet of counselors. But counsel should come from different people with different areas of expertise. Proverbs chapter 24, verse 6, we were just there. We'll read that again. It says, "For by wise counsel thou shalt make thy war, and in multitude of counselors there is safety." In a multitude of counselors. Proverbs 15, 22 says, "Without counsel purposes are disappointed, but in the multitude of counselors they are established." Proverbs 11, 14, "Where no counsel is, the people fall, but in the multitude of counselors there is safety." When I was in college, I did several different jobs. I worked for construction my first year and a half, 2 years, and then I worked at Sears Auto Center for the last part of my schooling. The first guy I worked for, Brother Ham, he was completely mechanically illiterate, basically. I mean, if it had anything to do with mechanics or how something worked or, you know, he couldn't do that. But he could frame a $500,000 house, okay? So if I had a building question, all right, I would go to Brother Ham about that building question. There, when I started working at Sears, there was a big black guy. His name was Butler. He looked like a gorilla. I mean, he was 6'2", 275, just a big old guy. But he was I don't know what they call him. He's a master tech, but to the fifth degree, whatever that is. I don't know what they call him. He really knew his stuff real well. And so if I had a mechanical question, something about a car or something, I went to Dave Butler about this mechanical question. And then I'd go to the school and I'd do stuff at school. Well, Dr. Jorgensen, you know, he is neither building inclined nor mechanically inclined, all right? But he knows a lot. He does know some about business things. He's pretty good with his money, all right? He knows about running things. So I don't go to Brother Ham if I have a question about the Bible, or not, I'm not saying that he doesn't know anything about the Bible, but that's not who I go to. I don't go to Dave Butler about the Bible. I mean, he goes, I don't know what he was. He was some kind of Methodist slash evangelical slash Lutheran kind of mixture. So, I mean, he was kind of contemporary. I'm not going to go to him with a Bible question. And I'm not going to go to Brother Ham about a question about a car, because he would just look at me with a blank look. You see, there's different people that I would go to that have different areas of expertise. All right, it would be foolish of me to go ask somebody about something if it's not their area of expertise. So I believe the Bible wants us, the Bible teaches that we should have a cabinet of counselors, as Pastor talks about, that we, different people that we can go to. And I have men here in the church, and you know, I was talking, Brother Jeff came to help me the other day, all right? And I asked him about doing putting tile in the bottom of a shower floor. That's his area of expertise. That's what he knows how to do, okay? But I'm not going to come to ask him other things that I don't know that he knows for sure, all right? So find people that have an area of expertise and count on those people, all right? You know, if I went to Dave or if I went to Brother Ham and said, hey, what's the pitch on this roof? You know, it's a 35 degrees. What's that pitch? He could tell me. He could tell me what a 35-degree pitch was. In a pitch term, okay? But if I went to Dave Butler and he told me a different answer than what Brother Ham said, and I said, well, I don't think Brother Ham knows what he's talking about, I'm going to go with Dave Butler. My roof would be all out of whack, all right? I'd have things coming in where they shouldn't be coming in at, all right? Water would leak everywhere because he doesn't know what he's talking about. Even if he gave me an answer, it's probably not the right one. So it needs to be important that you have the right people for the right counseling positions. Okay, so we got those four things. Those are the four things I found in Proverbs about counsel. One thing that I did see is counsel sometimes doesn't come easy. The Bible says that counsel in the heart of man is like deep water, but a man of understanding will draw it out. That's work. If you've ever drawn water from a well, it is work. All right, we all have electric pumps or even hand pumps, but when they had to draw water out of a well, it was work. Okay, sometimes counsel doesn't always come easy. You know, there are some people that are a little too free with advice, and there's some people that you can't get advice out of at all, hardly. And I think, folks, there needs to be a balance. And one reason I was talking about counsel here is because we've got a good mixture of, you know, this is all the adult classes. This is young adults and senior saints. You know, I love coming to older folks and asking questions. All right? So as young people, I guess I'm asking the older folks, be willing to help us. Right. If we have a question, be willing to help us with it. All right? And, you know, sometimes it's hard as a young person to come to somebody older. It takes a lot of swallowing your pride, honestly. Say, hey, I don't know what I'm doing. You know, I should have asked somebody older that had done texturing. But, well, how hard can it be? You just roll it on and stomp it. Well, obviously it was harder than what I thought it was, all right? So I should have gone to somebody older, okay? But it takes a swallowing of the pride to do that. So when somebody does come to you, be willing to give them some information. Be willing to help them. But as younger people, we need to be willing to search for it. You know, sometimes it's, man, I went to them and I asked them a question, and they just gave me a yes, no, I don't know. Try this, try that. Well, I want some more. Well, try going to them again. Try and ask them something else, all right? And keep going after it. There have been a lot of times I've done work for free, and I hate working for free. There's nothing that, oh, man. I mean, don't get me wrong, but when somebody asks me, hey, can you come help me? Sure, I'd love to. But you know what? Sometimes I've worked for free. The other day I went and helped my neighbor. He's got a big, I think it was a cat, 315D or something, big excavator. And I went over, and he was working one day, and I went over, hey, can I run your excavator? He's like, sure, if you'll do it for free. I was like, well, never done it before, but I'll try. And he let me run his excavator. You know, I've never done it before, but it was a good learning experience for me. So sometimes, and he gave me some pointers, hey, try this, try that. I'm like, no, thank you. I know you've done this for 20 years, but I can do this myself. That would be kind of dumb, all right? So, I mean, you need to try to look for opportunities to learn from other people. Take advantage of that. Here's something that's hard, and this is probably, I know there's a statement that goes against this sometimes, but be willing to accept counsel and advice even if you're not necessarily looking for it. That's hard for me to do. I know there's a statement, unsought for advice is seldom heeded and often resented. Everybody's heard that before. But that is more on the person that's receiving the advice than the person that's giving the advice. You know, I've been in some things where we've been in building projects and I've had Brother Bob or Brother Don or Brother Charles come up and say, hey, why don't you try doing it this way? You know, and then something inside of you wants to be like, it's working. I'm doing this all right. But you know that, you know, if I'm trying to wire something, I have no clue about electricity. So if Brother Charles comes up and says something, hey, why don't you try doing it this way? The smart thing would be, and you 100% of the time, it's been a whole lot easier and a whole lot quicker than what I've been trying to do. All right? But inside of us, there's something that says, oh, I didn't ask you for your help. All right? What are you helping me for? All right? But we need to accept that, and it's hard. But, you know, folks, there is a balance there too. You know, there's nothing worse than having somebody that's constantly over you. You should have done it that way. You didn't do that right. You know, so there's a balance. Sometimes I had the boys out there the other day. They raise their flags in school, which I don't know why they do it, because they ought to learn by now. They're like, Bro Chad, is there anything I can help you with? Sure. I had 4 tons of dirt out there in a big pile, and I said, all right, I want this 3 inches below the surface of this curb. So they worked all day, and it was that last hot day that we had, real humid day, and they was working out there all day, and you know, they never once asked me what they should do, and they went and got a wheelbarrow and was trying to cart it around with a wheelbarrow, and honestly, if they would have just all done it and just shoveled it and got it done with, they would have had it done in maybe an hour. There were 4 of them working on it, okay? Maybe an hour, tops, okay? But they didn't ask me what I thought about it, so I just let them do it. It took them 3 hours to get that pile of dirt shoveled. Hey, I'm thankful for it. But you know what? If they would have asked me, I said, hey, just do it this way. In fact, if they would have asked me, I probably would have brought the backhoe over and just scooped it up and moved it. They didn't ever ask me, so I didn't offer, all right? But you know, sometimes it just pays to ask somebody, all right? Pays to ask somebody. But you know what? I'm not going to go over there. I mean, it's a pile of dirt. I don't care how it gets from A to B, as long as it gets from A to B. All right, they've got 3 hours to blow, so let them blow it. All right, but you know, sometimes it pays to give somebody counsel, but you got to be careful how much counsel you give somebody. All right, because it does build a resentment if you're not careful. But if you're receiving counsel, be willing to take that counsel. Okay, we're gonna look at one more thing. One way in giving advice, much of it is the way in which it is given, and I have found this to be true so many times. I've had people before that just kind of look at what you're doing. You may be doing the very best that you're doing. They look at it and like, that was stupid. Why'd you do that for? You should have done it like this. Well, you know what? Inside of you, that kind of builds a resentment to it. Where I've had other people say, hey, and they may have done it themselves, but they don't ever act like they've done it themselves. They'll be like, hey, I've seen some guys. In fact, Brother Jeff, the other day, we was talking, and it was a great idea. Because I was going over some of the mud, like the third time, but I didn't have to go over everything the third time. And he said, hey, I seen some guys the other day, they took some chalk, and they mixed it in with their mud, so then when they went over the third time, they could see on the wall where they had been that third time, so they didn't have to sand the whole wall again. You know what he did? In a very discreet and very kind way, he gave me a suggestion. And I thought, man, that's a great way. I don't know if he had ever done that before. He may have done it and just said, hey, I saw some guys do this once before. But there's a different way of giving somebody counsel. So, folks, if you're older and you see somebody doing something stupid, all right, you don't have to say, hey, stupid, you know. They may be stupid, but you don't have to call them that, all right. But give them some advice. Give it to them in a kind way, okay. So that's something about that. I had you look at the why war, and we don't have very much time left, but I kind of noticed that God used that three times, that counsel, by counsel you can make war. And I thought, well, why did God use the illustration of making war? And I thought back in the Bible times, and I came up with three different things that maybe the reason that God used war. And this is kind of probably what I really want you to pay attention to. This is the importance of getting counsel. Okay? Why did God use the illustration of making war? Okay? Why didn't he use the illustration of making a business decision or making, you know, dealing with decisions with raising your kid? Why did he have to use the illustration of making war? And I thought about this. War is often a decision done in the heat of the moment. If you think about that, I think you'll find that's true. War is often a decision done in the heat of a moment. You get mad at something, so in the heat of the moment, oh, we're gonna go to war about this. Without ever talking to somebody, without counting the cost. And that's why I think it's so important to go get counsel. Many times our decisions, we want to make decisions in the heat of the moment. I made a decision probably 4 years ago. I bought this Jeep, and I went all the way over to Ohio to pick it up. I bought this Jeep in the heat of the moment. I was like, man, this is a great deal. Well, if it's too good to be true, you know what the saying is, it probably is. Well, I bought this Jeep, and honestly, I should have got more counsel about it. I should have just said, hey, I don't know, let me think about this a little bit longer. But you know what? A good deal, you know how it is. Oh, man, this is a great deal. I gotta get on this quick before somebody else gets it. Well, yeah, it was a good deal, all right. I was stuck with it for 3 years and didn't run, couldn't get it to run, and you know what? In the heat of the moment, sometimes we make decisions. In the heat of the moment, while you're dealing with your kids or something, sometimes you make a rash decision. Or in the heat of the moment, you make a decision to do something, business that you shouldn't do, where you should have went and got some counsel about it. So be careful about making decisions in the heat of the moment, because that's, as in war, man, they did something to me. They came and robbed my territory or whatever, as it would be back in the times of the Bible, we're going to go war against them. So think about that. It's in the heat of the moment. Second thing about war, it impacts the lives of others. Your decisions will impact the lives of others. So that's why it's important to get counsel about them. You know, how many, it's nothing in the Bible for us to read 40,000, 50,000, 100,000 foot soldiers died. We don't know those foot soldiers' names. All we know is the name of the king that sent them into battle. Folks, your decisions impact other people. What if that king would have went and got some counsel and somebody said, hey, it's probably not a good idea to go to war. I think you've got these odds against you. It might be better to make peace with this man. What would happen to all those families of those men that got killed? I think they would have been grateful that king would have went and got counsel. So your decisions impact the lives of others. Third thing about why war, it costs a lot sometimes. And sometimes it might cost you everything. By not going to get counsel, it may cost you quite a bit. Or it may cost you everything. I wonder how many kings went to war if somebody older would have told them that they couldn't have done it. I read a story, there was a man named Fetterman, kind of back when the Indians were still around. And he said that with 80 armed rangers, he could ride through the whole Sioux nation of Indians with 80 armed rangers. He thought he could do it. They gave him the 80 rangers. He rode out, and everybody thought, well, these Indians don't have any battle tactics. They don't know what they're doing. He rode out with 80 armed rangers. The Indians folded. The middle flank folded. Or the middle folded. They come out. The rangers thought, man, look at this. Just like he said, we could ride right through them. Charged right after him. All the Indians fled. Left and right flank closed in behind him. Wiped out all 80, 81, including him. If he would have talked to any Indian fighter, any scout that would have been there at that time, the scout would have told him, hey, don't underestimate these Indians. They may not have West Point learning, but they know what they're fighting. They've been fighting since they were kids. Not just rough and tumble fighting. They've been killing since they were kids. You know, by not getting counsel, sometimes it will cost you everything. That's why it's important to go get counsel. I don't have time, but we could go and look at the life of David. You know, David had a lot of, you know, remember his mighty men and the men that came around him? They were hotheads, all of them. And remember the time when David was inside the cave and Saul came in and laid down? Almost every one of his soldiers said, kill him. It's your chance. Abishai said, kill him, kill him. I'll go do it for you. That's bad counsel, because David knew better than that. But then we look at another time in David's life when David listened to the counsel of his men. Remember Naboth? When Naboth wouldn't give David any provisions, and David got hot under the collar, and he took, I don't remember, 400 men with him. And I think all of those men that went with him said, all right, we got him to go. We're going to go kill Naboth and every man that he's got. And halfway there, who showed up? Abigail, Naboth's wife, and said, hey, David, I know this, and gave him some counsel. In fact, I could, in the first, I'm going to turn there. I'll read the verse because I can't quote it to you. 1 Samuel chapter 25, verse 33. This is what David said to Abigail, blessed be the Lord God of Israel, which sent thee this day to meet me. And blessed be thy advice, and blessed be thou which thou hast kept me this day from coming to shed blood and from avenging myself with mine own hand. David said, thank you. Thank you for coming and giving me a clear bit of advice, because I was hot. I was going to kill everybody. So folks, there are some advantages of getting counsel. And I just want to go, it was a real quick Bible study. I know we went through things quick. I'll just go over the main things once again, then we'll be dismissed. Counsel helps us see what we do not see. So we need to get counsel. Counsel helps confirm what we believe to be right or wrong so we can go forward without a doubt. It establishes the purposes in our heart. Counsel gives us safety. The Bible tells us many times. Counsel should come from different people with different areas of expertise. Have a cabinet of counsel people that can help you with different areas of your life. Let's have a word of prayer and we'll have a break real quick. Father, thank you for this day. Thank you for all you've done for us. Lord, help me to get wise counsel in my life. Thank you for all the people here in this, even in this room, that have counseled me with different many things. And I pray that you would help us all to search for counsel, because, Lord, we know that your counsel standeth sure, and we don't have to fear anything from it. Lord, thank you for your love for us. Just help the rest of the services today. In Jesus' name, amen.